Medicine Coach podcast number, we'll call it 15. Well, everyone, thank you for joining me. I say this is probably episode 15 because I've gone in and out of the Medicine Coach business here for about the last couple of years, just dabbling in it, just keeping it surviving and keeping it alive for a while. But I'm going to try and get back into it. Most of the podcasts I've taken off of the site, I may revamp them and change them around a little bit. But for now, I'm just going to go ahead and answer a question from someone I got named Kevin, who I've probably known 5 or 6 years. And he just said, Dr. Connor, I saw your article on fat burning. I'm weightlifting every other day, running and mountain biking the days in between, always active, as you know, mainly vegetarian diet except for fish, no corn, no gluten, no soy, very moderate dairy. I have some cheese a few times per week, no processed food, minimal sugar. My vices are strong coffee in the morning, a couple of cups, and a glass or two of red wine most every night. How I keep any fat on me, I don't know, but I keep some flab on my belly that pisses me off. Don't want to starve myself because I'm also trying to build muscle. I'm A blood type, if that matters, but struggle to digest meat well. I want to lose the belly fat. Any counsel? And then he sent a picture. He said, here's a picture of me after I finished 90 days of insanity. I killed it. Didn't lose a single ounce of weight or fat. Doesn't look like I have much fat, but when I sit, there's a good handful of flab on my midsection. So judging from that picture, Kevin, it looks like you're probably about 15 to 17% body fat, which really isn't all that bad. And you said you're 6 feet, 160 pounds or 161 pounds. That's really not too bad, but you know, we always want more muscle. It's just one of the things guys like. So as far as losing body fat, when guys get around 15% body fat, it gets more and more difficult to lose. Our bodies just do not want to give it up. It's our energy reserve and our energy source when we're not eating or not eating well. So our bodies just don't want to give it up. And with guys, it's about 15%. Women, they have a hard time getting below 20%. Now, if you can get there, if you can get to 15% for guys, 20% for women, you look good. You look far better than average. But, you know, if you're working on it, it's difficult. It's a struggle. It's a chore to get below that. So I'm going to give you a couple of tips here, what to do, what not to do, and see if we can drop some body fat and at the same time put on some muscle. And this is not an overnight thing. It doesn't happen in a week or a month or 2 months. This is tough for you to really notice something. First of all, you said you did that insanity program. Well, here's the problem. Most people are going to overtrain doing some of these DVD videos and things like that. You're going to overtrain in about a week. It's going to be about a week before your body says, hey, you're taxing me too hard. And what's going to happen is your cortisol is going to go up because your body's under stress. When cortisol goes up, your body has a very difficult time getting rid of fat. That's one of the things that cortisol does, is cause you to hold on to fat. It causes you to burn sugar for energy pretty regularly and burn your lean tissue for energy while it holds on to fat. You're going into an emergency mode when your cortisol is up. It's the whole flight or flight with your adrenal glands. So you don't want to do that. It's taxing your body. It's holding on to the fat. So first of all, cut out those DVDs. Cut out that high-intensity, hour-long, crazy cardio stuff. You're doing yourself more harm than good. Your diet. You say you're mostly vegetarian. I've known that, and I think I've told you now half a dozen times at least that that's not the best way to go, in my opinion. As far as your diet goes, if you're 160 pounds, you want to put on some muscle and some size, I say to get at least 160 grams of protein. And that's difficult. I'll give you a couple tips here in a minute. You also want to try to get about 150 to 160 grams of carbohydrates a day and about 60 to 80 grams of fat per day. Now, it seems a little difficult to try and figure all that out, you can just wing it. It doesn't have to be exact. And the way I recommend things is you want to have, you know, 3 main meals a day and 2 snacks. So your main meal, you want to consist of a protein and a carb and some fat all every meal. And your protein, I say red meat is the best, although you don't eat red meat. Fish, chicken, and whey protein are my main sources of protein. I don't eat cottage cheese, but that's also a pretty good source. And you want the size of the piece of meat to be the size of the palm of your hand. not your fingers, just the palm of your hand. Each portion, if you're gonna have a piece of chicken that big, fish, red meat, it's gonna be about that big. Then as far as your carbohydrate goes, you want it about the size of your fist. For carbohydrates, we're looking at sweet potatoes, oats, whole grain rice, even wheat pasta or even beans, and an occasional white potato. That's not the best, but it's okay, it's not bad. And you want that to be about the size of your fist for those three meals. Your fats, if you're eating red meat, there you're just going to get the normal amount. It's just going to happen naturally if you're incorporating red meat into your diet, which Kevin, you don't do. But you'll need your fats, you want those to come from butter. Butter, not margarine, not I can't believe it's not butter, not artificial spray butter, not vegetable oil spread. Butter, butter, butter. Also, olive oil, but you don't cook with olive oil. You can use olive oil as a flavoring for your rice or your beans or something like that. Or if you're going to have a salad, throw it on your salad with a little vinegar, but you don't cook with olive oil. If you're going to cook, use butter. Olive oil turns rancid at a lower temperature, and it gets actually a sort of, I don't want to say poisonous because it's not really poisonous, but it's not good for you when you heat it up too much. So those are the mainstays. Now, as far as snacks go, I would just go with, protein shake or an energy bar. If you find some recipe, I recently found some recipes for homemade protein bars that you just put oats in a blender, blend them up into a powder. So you now have flour and you put some bananas in there and some whey protein, peanut butter, some egg whites and things like that. I forget. There's recipes around for homemade protein bars using whey protein. Now, Kevin, because you are mainly a vegetarian, the occasional fish, I would say you need to get a lot of protein from whey protein. You can buy it at a store. I sell it on the website, but honestly, it's not the whey protein I use because I use so much of it, it would be expensive. It's the best whey protein I think there is, but it's very expensive. So the whey protein I use is from Costco. I go there. I actually bought two big old bags today for spent $100 on protein today on powder because we use so much. Now, if you're going to be wanting to get 160 roughly grams of protein a day, you're probably going to need to drink two, three, maybe four protein shakes a day to get that protein into you. You need it for muscle recovery if you're going to work out. We'll be getting into working out here soon too. You can mix your protein powder with plain water. That's how I drink mine every morning. I've got a little blender, a cup of water, two scoops of protein powder, whip it up, drink it down with my vitamins, make some oatmeal, and I'm out the door. That's my breakfast. So it can be fast, it can be easy. You can bring some with you wherever you go in a little shaker bottle, or just bring the powder with you, mix it with water right there, shake it up. But you need to get that protein in you if you're going to want to put on some muscle, just the way it is. And eating whole real food. I know you're sort of a natural environmental guy and you eat pretty well. I think you do a lot of salads and things like that with the family. That's fine. As far as your vices, coffee, wine, that's fine. We're not looking at a competition here. We're not going for Mr. Colorado. I know you live in Colorado. Don't worry about slipping up here and now and then. Have some ice cream with your kids. Enjoy your life. This is not so serious that you've got to sacrifice fun and enjoyment in life because you're trying to put on 5 or 10 pounds of muscle in the next 4 or 6 months. It's not like that. You don't have to be so serious. You can cheat, you can eat, poorly every once in a while, but for the main thing, you need to eat well as much as possible. Now we'll get into workout here. I know, I don't know. I'm assuming you don't belong to a gym and you work out at the house. Your picture looks like your house. So if you've got to work out at the house, I would suggest getting your son to spot you because you're going to need help, or get a membership to a gym. Now, the workout that I'm going to tell you about here is something that you can do at your house with relatively minimal equipment. You're probably going to need more weights because you're going to be doing less repetitions. So when you're working out with weights, to put on muscle, the most effective way I know is just this workout routine, which is called the 5x5. You're basically doing 5 repetitions of 5 sets per exercise. You want to keep increasing the weight, and you want to use compound exercises for the most part. These exercises involve just more than one muscle. You're not isolating a certain muscle if you can help it. So for chest, flat bench press, incline bench press. Shoulders, shoulder press. Biceps, barbell curls. Triceps, dips. Backs. Yeah. How many backs do you have? I just have one. But for back, I do pull-ups. You can do weight assisted if you can do enough, or if you need to, what you can do is just kind of put your feet up on something, spot yourself with your feet and help yourself up if you can't get the required number of reps, or you can change the angle of how you're pulling yourself up, or bent over rows for back. For legs, the only thing you can really do if you're not at the gym and you don't have equipment is squat or and calf raises for your calves. Now, the reason that I recommend weight training is I still feel weight training is the most effective way to lose fat. Not only that, it's the only way to effectively gain muscle, but it's the most effective way to lose fat and by far the most efficient and most effective way to burn calories. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the insanity guy says. I don't care what Tony Horton says. Weight training is the most effective and efficient way to burn calories, and here's why. If you run a mile, you'll burn, say, 75 calories. That's it. If it takes you 20 minutes to run a mile or 10 minutes to run a mile, you burn about 75 calories. It's the same. Well, sitting down on your couch doing nothing, you burn about a calorie a minute just to live. So let's say it takes you 15 minutes to run a mile and you've burned 75 calories. Let's go crazy. Let's say you've run 4 miles and it takes you an hour. That's kind of slow. I don't know. I don't run, obviously. But let's say you run 4 miles in an hour. So you've run 4 miles, you've burned about 300 calories. Great. So now if you're sitting on your couch doing nothing, you burn about a calorie a minute. So you burn, if you were to sit on your couch during that hour, you would have burned 60 calories just to survive. But you went running, you burned 300. So you burned an extra 180 calories in that hour by running. If you enjoy running, great, fantastic. By all means, run if it's something you like. If it's therapeutic for you, great. You like biking, running the trails, Kevin, I know you do all that stuff. Fantastic. Enjoy it. Don't stop. But understand, burning those calories are going to cut into your muscle recovery and cut into your ability to gain muscle. So back to this running. So you've burned 300 calories instead of 60. So you've burned an additional 240 calories by running. You can run that mile, or you can not eat two pieces of bread, or about a slice and three quarters of a piece of bread, something like that. I don't like running. I don't like cardio. I don't like anything like that. So I'd rather just not eat one and three quarter slices of bread than run for an hour. But when you're done running and you stop running, you've stopped burning extra calories. Run an hour, you burn an hour of calories. When you weight train, let's say you're weight trained for an hour, you're going to burn, say, 400 calories because you're working hard. You're not just jogging, you're not just going through the motions. You're working hard if you're going to gain muscle. So now you've burned that 400 calories for the hour. If you've worked hard enough, you're going to be burning probably three times that, probably another 1200 calories over the next 3 days as your body recovers from the damage that you've done during that 1 hour in the gym. So running for an hour, you burn calories for an hour. You work out for an hour, you're going to burn calories over the course of about 4 hours. That's just the way it is. It's the most efficient way to burn calories. And if you eat right and exercise right, you're burning four times the amount of calories. And the calories that you're consuming and eating, they're going to go towards rebuilding the muscle damage that you've done, making your muscles bigger and stronger and giving you a better appearance. Also, since you're burning the calories, the fat that your body's holding is going to be used for energy also, because the calories that you're putting in is going towards repair. So your body's surviving on fat, repairing from the food that you're eating, It's the best way to go. Now, I talked about the 5x5. We'll go back to this again. Your workout routine. You said you work out every other day. Great. Keep going every other day. What I want you to do is the first day, you want to do, again, compound exercises, but say chest, shoulders, and triceps. Because when you do chest, you're working your shoulders, you're also working your triceps as secondary, it's compound movements. So say, let's do flat bench. Since you're not going to gym, you have your home equipment. You're going to do flat bench, 5 reps, 5 sets. Mark everything down. So if you do 150 pounds, you do it 5 times. Next week, put 155 pounds on the bar and try and do it 5 times. If you can do it 5 times, increase the weight. So every workout, you're doing 5 reps. You should be increasing your weight every workout. Now, don't jump right on the bench and do 5 reps heavy first set. Warm up. This doesn't include warm ups. Do 1, 2, 3 warm up sets with 15, 20, 10 reps, something like that, just to get warmed up before you jump into the heavy sets. And on flat bench, on incline bench, shoulder press, you're going to want to use a spotter because you're going to be using heavy weight. So the first workout, chest, shoulders, triceps, I would do flat bench, 5x5, incline bench, 5x5, shoulder press, which is sitting down, lifting the bar over your head. I would do it in the front, doing front of your face. Behind the neck is a little tough on the shoulders. So you're sitting down, you've got the barbell, you're lifting it over your head, you're bringing it down to the top of your chest, lifting it straight back up over your head. If you don't want to do it sitting, I do it standing because as it gets heavier, you can cheat a little bit, bend your legs, help it, like an Olympic lifter really gets his body into it. As it gets heavier, you can get some body moving into it, cheating, so to speak, but get the weight up there. And then the barbell curls, just a simple, I'm sorry, that's it, the dips. Sorry, that's next after the shoulder press for triceps. If you can do 5, if it's very easy, you're gonna want to add weight. What you can do is you can either hold a dumbbell between your legs, or you'd have to get a weight belt and a chain and strap some plates onto you. Without going to a gym, that's really the only way you're going to get some efficient tricep exercise. So you're going to want to take a day off. Then we're going to do back and biceps. For back, you want to do pull-ups. Again, 5x5. If it's too easy, add some weight. And also bent over rows. Now you can do it those two ways. You can do underhand. You just look up, just Google Dorian Yates barbell row. It's Dorian Yates. He does a different type of a barbell row. He uses a reverse grip, or you can use an overhand grip. Either way, whatever you like, or do them both. Doesn't matter. Just do them. Again, 5x5, go heavy. After that, your barbell curl, simple, 5x5. Take a day off, let's do legs. Since you're not at the gym, don't have a gym, the only thing you can really do is squat. Now we're going to do a little different than a 5x5 with the legs. For legs can handle higher repetitions because you're walking all the time. They respond better to a little higher reps. So squat, 10 reps, 10 sets. Again, you put the weight on your back, go down to parallel, come back up. 10 reps, 10 sets. You'll know that you've done it. Don't worry. By the way, what I think is probably the best metabolic boost, best exercise for getting your metabolism up there. It's fantastic, but I personally don't do them with my back the way it is after 30 years of training, is the 20 rep squat. If you can do 3 sets of 20 rep squats and that 20th rep is the last one you're going to get, trust me, you've done something, man. When you leave the gym, keep your legs straight when you're stepping off the curb, otherwise you're going down and you're going to fall because your legs are going to be jelly when you're done. That it's the I've done it plenty of times. I don't squat now because of my back, like I said. I do leg press and hack squats. They don't seem to hurt my back. But the 20 rep squat, if you can do it, more power to you. That is really something. After squats, nothing you can do for hamstrings without a leg curl machine at the gym. You can do calf raises. You can do them one-legged because you don't have weights, don't have enough heavy enough weight, one-legged calf raises, like 5 sets, 10 reps for your calves. Again, write everything down. Always try and increase your weight. Increase the weight, increase the weight, increase the weight. Keep getting stronger, keep getting stronger, keep getting stronger. Your muscles will get bigger. Now, I would say, and I do, stop all cardio exercise. But I know you're an active guy. I know you ride your bike with your son. I know you go running through the trails. I know you love the outdoors. Keep doing it if you enjoy it. Do it for fun. Don't do it for exercise. Let me say that again. Do it for fun. Don't do it for exercise. If you enjoy running the trails, if it's therapeutic, you want to get on your bike, ride around, fantastic. If you enjoy it, spend time with your kids, spend time with your wife, wonderful. Don't do it for exercise. Do it for enjoyment, okay? Because you want to save as much energy as you can for your body to build the muscle that you're damaging with your workout. If you're burning up calories riding your bike, you're burning up calories running the trails, your body's just not going to have those calories to repair itself, and it's going to sense stress because of that. And like doing those insanity exercises, cortisol is going to go up. It's going to hold on to that fat for dear life. Doesn't want to use it. So again, if you can help it, cut out the cardio. Now, supplements, I recommend everyone can have a good quality multivitamin, omega-3 fatty acid supplement, DHEA, vitamin D, and digestive enzymes. There's more explanation for all this on the website. If you go under to medicinecoach.com and go under products and supplements, those are the ones that I take. That's what I do. And also I do the whey protein. I would only recommend that if you're weight training and trying to gain muscle, which this is what you want to do. Again, I say it right there on the website. The best whey protein that I know of, I don't use because it's too expensive and I take too much. So, like I said, I get mine from Costco. Now we're going to get into the hormone balancing. All these things add up. Everything comes together to make yourself a success to do what you want to do. Every little bit, from the weight training to the diet, to the supplements. Now we're getting into the hormones. At I think you're 42, if I can remember correctly, Kevin. I know we're pretty close in age. I think we're what, 4 or 6 months apart, maybe. At 42, you're probably going to need some testosterone supplementation to get you up to normal levels. Now, I know you're a natural guy. You want to do that. There's really nothing supplement-wise, over-the-counter-wise, quote-unquote natural that you can take that's going to effectively raise your testosterone level. There's all kinds of supplements that you'll see on the internet or radio ads, TV ads about increasing your testosterone, increasing it naturally. You know, no shots, no pills, no prescription, whatever. Doesn't work. Because even if it does increase your testosterone, it's also going to increase your estrogen. The balance is still going to be favored towards estrogen. Sex hormone binding is going to go up. It's not going to work. Trust me, it's not going to work. The only way to effectively raise testosterone is getting a prescription. So at 42, my recommendation as far as hormone, I get your testosterone checked. You might even want to get your estradiol checked, only because your testosterone could be fine. It could be excellent, but if your estrogen's up, you're still going to be out of balance. Estrogen is causing you to hold some fat. So what I would do is get a testosterone saliva test, get an estradiol saliva test, and see where you are. If needed, you could use some testosterone supplementation. The best way is still a shot. Intramuscular shot in the butt, the gluteus maximus, once a week. Simple, relatively painless. Terry can do it. I'm sorry, your wife, Terry, can give you the shot. It's not a big deal. And all we're doing is bringing your testosterone level back up into the normal range if it's low. Also, what we can do, you can take a pill that's going to block the estrogen. What's happening is testosterone is being converted over into estrogen. As we get older, our body gets better at doing this, and our balance tips toward estrogen. There's no way to fight it. The only way to do is testosterone supplementation. Also, environmental factors with the estrogen as well. I know you live in Colorado, clean, crisp air up there near Pikes Peak, but still you're going to be exposed to what are called xenoestrogens. These are man-made chemicals that are estrogen-like. Our body has a difficult time getting rid of these once they're taken into our body, and they act similarly to estrogen, but not completely. And they cause havoc. And over time, they build up and build up and build up. Again, no way to avoid it. The only way is to take the supplemental testosterone and tip your hormone levels back towards the testosterone side, keeping things balanced. That's really about it. That's it in a nutshell. Sounds difficult. I've gone on for 25, 26 minutes now about it, but it's simple. Get your diet right, get your exercise right, get your hormones balanced, and take the right supplements. It's pretty easy. If you've got any more questions, just send them over to me. My email address is just askwest@medicinecoach.com, and that'll do it. Thank you.